The questions you always had. The answers you were never given. The place to seek the truth. Welcome to Veritas.
Tonight on the Veritas Project, we embark on an exploration of the fascinating and often controversial world of health and medicine, alongside Dr. Lee Merritt, renowned for her medical expertise and outspoken views on the intersection of policy, freedom, and science in healthcare. From a rural upbringing to a pivotal career in the U.S. Navy, Dr. Merritt has consistently pushed the boundaries of conventional medicine, evolving from orthopedic surgery to a beacon for integrative medicine and a critic of established medical narratives. This evening, alongside Dr. Merritt, we confront the pressing questions and unsettling truths of modern medicine and world health policies. Together, we'll delve into her critical perspective on public health responses and the management of the COVID-19 pandemic. Dr. Merritt will also share her insights into the contentious topic of bioweapons and how these threats influence world health policies and the security of populations. Join us as we uncover the foundational role of biochemistry in understanding human health, explore the influence of diet and lifestyle on wellness, and delve into her provocative stances on treatments and public health policies. Prepare to delve into the underbelly of the health industry, where profit reigns supreme and power is wielded at the expense of our well-being. The hijacking of health, profits, power, and the battle for control will expose the hidden truths of healthcare, empowering you to reclaim ownership of your health journey. Don't miss out on this opportunity to gain invaluable insights and arm yourself with the tools needed to navigate the complexities of modern medicine. Dr. Lee Merritt is coming up next.
Welcome to the Veritas Project. If this is your first time listening, welcome home. To access tonight's full interview and all of our exclusive material, simply join the Veritas Plus family by clicking on the subscribe button at veritasproject.com. And while you're there, don't forget to check out the Veritas store for a range of great products, including focused life force energy. Experience the power of FLFE with a 15-day free trial today. No credit card required. If you're looking to get in touch with Mel, have a guest suggestion, or would like to provide feedback, simply click on the contact button on our website. So sit back, relax, and enjoy tonight's program. And now, here's your host, Mel Hostelrich.
And it is my pleasure and honor to introduce a hero that doesn't wear a cape, but she wears a white robe, Dr. Lee Merritt. Welcome, Dr. Merritt, and what a pleasure.
Well, thanks for having me.
I'm not sure
I'm a hero, but I am infamous anyway.
Well, during the pandemic, I remember watching all your videos. You gave people so much hope, and I know because I suffer the consequences of discussing all these subjects.
Yeah.
But things are turning, and people are realizing that you were right, and many others were right. The silence science, I call it. What can you tell us about those 3-4 last years that we endured?
Well, yeah, you know, I saw a meme that kind of encompasses how I feel about things. It says, I didn't intend to become a conspiracy theorist, but after I examined all the evidence, it was either that or going back to living a lie. And that's really the story here. You know, I'm a classically trained physician, and everything that they, you know, I question things, you know, and I tried to think physiologically my whole career, even though I'm an orthopedic surgeon. I don't do internal medicine, for example. But when I was in internal medicine, first year of postgraduate medical school, you know, it was the same. I always thought I wasn't one of these people that would spout 30 papers and authors and all that stuff about, you know, what was going on, even though I was from a real academic place and, you know, good position in my class and everything. I just didn't do that. I always thought about, because they taught me at Rochester, they taught me physiology. And I always thought it's more important to think about, you know, does this make sense? You know, does it make sense with what we know about chemistry, biology, physiology? And now we'll add to that the spiritual world, because that turns out to be a big component here. But what I found out is that science has been absolutely corrupted, and it's been purposeful. If you go back to where we got this whole notion of viruses, and people are probably going, oh no, not this whole virus controversy again. But this is important because, you see, this is like John Robison said at the time of our Revolutionary War, roughly, when he wrote the book about conspiracy. And he said, if you believe in an imaginary object, then the shaman or the witch doctor, the leader can run around with that imaginary object and create whatever he wants. He can convince you he's made you sick. He can convince you he made you well. He can convince you he's improved the weather, you know, and then he gets power and he gets his leadership. He knows this is the basis of the occult. The occult know better the way the world works than we do. Occult just means hidden, like we talk about occult tumors. It doesn't mean necessarily running around in black and crimson robes. It just means I'm hiding something from you, kind of like your bookie. You know, not that you may have one, but a bookie knows something more about the racing deal than you do. Trust me, they don't lose money generally. They figure out ways of, they might let their buddies into the secret, but they don't let you into the secret. So they sell you tickets that you think are kind of random, or you try and investigate things, but they know that the horse is lame or not so lame or whatever, so they can take advantage of you. And that is what we're experiencing here. There are people, and I use that term somewhat loosely, there are people out there, or a consortium out there, who know more about the actual way the world is created and works than we do. And they've been using that knowledge against us for millennia. You know, as my friend James Grundvik says, he said, what we're fighting really is a, you know, 5,000 or maybe 10,000 year old death cult that masquerades as a modern political, economic, and military state, but projects its power through narrative. So the other thing I've realized in this 3 years is that they don't have the power that they thought they did. Their power is projected for the most part through narrative. You know, well, you can say, well, but they made so many people sick. No, they made a few people sick. I think this started, when I look back in time, I really think what happened to us was in October of 2019, and I the only thing I had I had two heads up here that helped me kind of sort this out. One is I had been on a subcommittee of the Congress called the NREC, and we looked at future technology for the naval services. This is after I did my spine fellowship and I was in private practice in the DC area. And so I had a congressional appointment to this subcommittee, and as a physician, they had to have one position on the committee. And I was kind of underutilized dealing with, you know, submarine warfare and things like that. So I, on my own, decided I'm going to look into the issues of defense against biologic and chemical weapons. And that took me down a long kind of lifetime interest in looking at what the bioweapons programs are around the world. What are we doing? What are people, what's the history here? And so when this whole thing came out, I had, you know, I had friends. And so I called people and I found out that, you know, one guy who had been at Fort Detrick, who was a researcher at Fort Detrick, which was our, quote, former bioweapons lab. I think it still is, but now it's called a cancer institute. He said, I should watch this one, okay, which always before he said, don't bother, just that's nothing. You know, SARS, MERS, no, don't worry about it. But this one he said, you better watch, which is interesting in retrospect. But anyway, the other thing is I read Russian. And so I got, when it didn't make sense in January, I'm thinking, you know, I'm not watching. I've been watching this since the first part of December in China. And now as it's, you know, doing other things, it's coming, you know, to Italy and things like that, Korea. I'm watching it. I'm plotting graphs of the death count, what's going on. But it's just not making a lot of sense. If this is really this airborne and deadly, why is it not going to Beijing? Why is it not going to Yanzhou, Wanzhou, and the various Zhous and big cities in China? Because they didn't shut down transportation. So there was something weird going on. So I got into it and started look, you know, saving my own numbers, because at this point I thought, I'm not sure I trust these guys. And I wasn't, at that point, it was I didn't trust the Chinese. Now it's that I don't trust us. It's kind of sad. But I started plotting this thing. I started looking at it. And then I went to the Russian sites because I thought somebody's not telling us the whole story here. And I found a couple Russian probable former or current bioweaponeers. But anyway, they were speaking about this. And this is what they said. They said, this is not a natural disease. This is a bioweapon. We don't think the Chinese invented it, created created it. You know, and so they're not saying it didn't break out in China, but they're saying they didn't think the Chinese invented it. Now, see, by the bioweapons community, whether you're Russian, Chinese, American, whoever, they all know each other. They know who they are. They may not know each other personally, but they kind of, part of it is, you know, when you're in, it's like knowing your defense. If you're a ship driver, you also study what the Russian ships look like. You know what they're doing, so you know what we're doing. So we should do. So that's what I found out early on. And I thought, wow, now that's interesting. So I started speaking out early on saying, that's really not what we're being told. And it was really eye-opening to me. The first fight I got into was about the masks. Now, I'm a spine surgeon. I've been an orthopedic surgeon and in the operating room literally for 44 years of medicine. You know, I've been in medicine 48 years. And for 44 years of that, maybe 43, I've been mostly in a mask all day long in an OR, you know, as much as anybody. And so I went down to the city of Omaha to try to convince them not to do a mask mandate. There were only two city councilmen that would even listen to that. The entire University of Nebraska was on the other side of this, the big medical center. They were all telling things like, oh, there are 10,000 studies that show that masks work for this. No, there aren't. I'm thinking, what is going on here? And at the end, I was so disgusted that in my little 3 minutes I had to speak, I said, anybody that thinks at this point that masks work for this is either being paid or being played. And I looked right at them. So I'm probably not a favorite down at the University of Nebraska. And I'm not saying it's everybody there, but I realized this is much more than a disease. This is being run as a program, and people are being co-opted. They're being paid. They're being threatened. Whatever it is, this is now a program. In fact, there were only two medical people in that whole big auditorium on the side of don't do a mask mandate. All the normal people were over there, but the only two, a chiropractor friend of mine and me, that was it. What is going on? So that's kind of how I got into this. And then my little 3 minutes got taken up by Alex Jones. He played it on the opening to his show. It went viral somehow and he got a hold of it. Then Simone Gold calls me and says, we'd like you to be a frontline doctor and give us the mask lecture. I thought, no problem. No, you know, I said, how can anybody believe this stuff? There's a ton of literature out there. You know, people, it's not that I figured it out all by myself. The point people should realize is you should ask your doctor, did you not believe that OSHA existed prior to this? If OSHA thought this would keep you from getting viruses, would they not have recommended it in the past? Do we not have environmental services research going on all around the world and our army? I mean, we have people that this is their expertise. So somebody should have realized that this had to be wrong. Even in the middle of this breakout, the CDC came out and said they've looked at the masks and they looked at masks, sanitizing your environment. And what was the third thing? Oh, and hand washing, maybe even wearing gloves. And it's made no difference to the influenza rates. This is a paper that was published right during the time they're telling us to mask up and do all this crazy stuff. So again, it was a takedown. And in the first taste I really had of this being like a war was when I went to speak at AFLDS in DC. And the first thing that happened is big old McGill University in Canada writes this article and it said, walk away from America, frontline doctors. And then I was cited in the title. It said, Lee Merritt might be a good orthopedic surgeon, but she's out on a limb when it comes to COVID-19. Let's start sawing. It's not like you're too. And then later when I went on Alex Newman a few months later, this is 2020, I went on Alex Newman and said this was a bioweapon. And big old Columbia University comes after me personally with him. And they had a slide in a slide projection. I got this from a Canadian researcher later that happened to see it at this lecture. But it was a slide of me with Alex Newman, and across our faces it went false, 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 in big yellow letters, false, 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 sigh, as if these people are too stupid to live, speaking to me about me, you know. So that is really, you know, what you can't see that and not realize that this is a psyop being waged. And it has real consequences. Now, I'm not saying the whole thing was a psychological operation. The psychological operation was built around, in my opinion, a toxic, probably nanoparticulate contact poison. One of the things I've learned from watching the bioweapons researchers over the decades is that aerosolized stuff was expensive and not that easy to do. And it wasn't really the way to go. And they'd kind of converted to a couple other ways of producing bioweapons. One was contact pathogens or contact poisons, which is meaning you put it down on a surface or in some object, and then somebody gets poisoned, gets sick. But you can make that look like a disease. So let's just imagine for a moment, because first of all, what's the coincidence that on October 19th, I believe it was October 19th, the day that they did the, in 2019, the day that they ran Event 201 in New York
18th, City. 18th, because it was my birthday, I remember.
18th, well, it was 19th over there in China. It was 18th here, so the dateline. Yes, that's exactly, thank you. Right. That's exactly when it was. And on that exact date that they were running that thing in New York, that you've probably talked about on your show, that was the first patient that showed up in the Wuhan military hospital. And it's also the day they first turned on the 5G as a test. They didn't have it full going yet, but that was their test city. And October 19th in China was the first day that they had started turning it on. Now, what's the chance of all that? And the fact that now they're lying and saying it flew out of bat soup into humans at a wet market that just coincidentally, just by accident, is 6 miles from the only level 4 biocontainment bioweapons lab in China, in a country of 4 million square miles. You know, the coincidences just go on and on. So when you looked at that, you said, wait a minute, this is something. But what I do think they did to make this thing happen, they had to give you something that really looked scary. And you can find James Giordano. I've got a video of James Giordano, who's a neuroscientist, talking about this. He's a professor at Georgetown. He does neuroscience. He advises the military and gives lectures at West Point and things like that. And, you know, he's kind of the scientist that people like to hate in the Patriot community, because he does kind of come off as Dr. Evil, but he's a smart guy. And probably if we'd just been listening to him for years, we would have recognized this right away, because he talks about how I can make a virus apparently, or I can create a disease, and I don't even need to really have a disease to take a nation down. That's essentially what he gives a lecture on. And he says, I can pick out 3 key individuals, let's say, and he points at the audience. He says, you and you and you. And I can, and he talks about using nanoparticulate contact poisons. Okay, so that's that. I didn't come up with it from him, but when I saw that later, I said, yep. I think they spread around something in Wuhan that got into people. And when I say it's a contact poison, it's a lipophilic substance of some sort that you can absorb through your skin. Now, in the past, those things were immediately fatal. This was apparently not. I think what this is what's called optogenetics, where they created a path, they created a poison that you absorb, but it's not immediately poisonous until we reconfigure it in the body by wavelength. Okay, that is a branch of science. Everybody hears about CRISPR. I don't really think this is about CRISPR. It might be, but I don't think that's what's going on here. I think what's happening is they've been using optogenetics. In fact, the father of CRISPR, Feng Zhang at the MIT lab, he has actually got a PhD in optogenetics. So what optogenetics is, I take a chemical, I put it into the animal, and then I activate it with a wavelength. The simplest example of that is I put archaebacteria, the blue-green color of black bacteria, and I grow them in a petri dish, and it fills up the whole dish and looks blue-green on the surface. But these things have a little flagellum, a little propeller on the back of their bodies. They're single cellular organisms with a little propeller. And if I hit them with I think it's a 320 nanometer wavelength, I hit them with this light wavelength that we can't really see at that frequency, I don't think. It turns on their little flagella because it reacts with a chemical at the base of that little propeller, and they start swimming away from the light. That's how you know it's turned on. So now they have these things that can do lots of things in animal studies. They claim they haven't used it in humans. But let's just suppose for a minute that they spread around one of these opsins, and Karen Kingston thinks it's in the form, based on patents, she thinks it's in the form of a smart hydrogel. And a hydrogel would be absorbed.
Thank you for listening. To unlock the full 2-hour interview, including video formats, downloads, transcripts, exclusive articles, and more, subscribe to Veritas Plus now. Gain access to our entire archive dating back to 2008. Just click subscribe at veritasproject.com. To listen to the rest and access all of our exclusive material, head over to the Veritas Plus member section or click the subscribe button at veritasproject.com. Don't forget to visit the Veritas store for a range of great products, including focused life force energy. Experience the benefits with a 15-day free trial of FLFE today. No credit card required. If you'd like to get in touch with me, be a guest on the program, have a guest suggestion, or want to provide feedback, just click the contact button on our website at veritasproject.com. Thank you for listening to The Veritas Project, because you don't want to believe, you want to know. What are you waiting for? Subscribe now at veritasproject.com.